Hey, what's up, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Checkup Podcast featuring myself, Armani Jackson, and my co-host, Alex. Alex, what you doing, man?
Hey, man, just here. Happy Friday. Happy Friday to everybody that's out listening.
Yeah.
Just remember, today is another Wednesday. Every day is you got to be for the win. Be sure to check that out. We got the link in our on our Instagram page. We got my man, Joel, got a great brand. Every day is for the win. But feeling great, man. It's a great Friday. You know what I'm saying? We got NCAA basketball. We got NBA basketball.
March Madness,
Madness. You know, it's a great time to be a fan of basketball, man. Like, there's no better time.
Yeah, most definitely. We got playoffs coming up in about a month or two. So it's going to be getting real high, especially, too, with the tournament right now, man. So many upsets were happening. I mean, Ohio State lost today, bro. I was like, what the heck? Like, they were a 2-seed lost to a 15 seed, bro. It's crazy. Like, there's, like, only, like, I think, 0.035 percentile of like brackets that are perfect. So it's crazy, man. I love this type of stuff though, bro. And I mean too, it's kind of cool though. Our school Grand Canyon, they play tomorrow too, bro. Yes, against Iowa. You never know. Like it's crazy, bro. Like, I mean, you never know what could happen too. That's the thing, yeah.
First time. And our strength is our bigs, man. So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, we got a lot of height, yeah.
I don't want Luke Garza's draft stock to drop too bad, but I hope he loses this game and his draft stock drops some, man, because we need the dub, bro. We want to put ourselves on the map, and, you know, maybe we get some 4-star, 5-star products coming through the pipeline.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing too, bro, it's crazy. I remember we were talking about it earlier in the week. We were just saying, like, it's crazy. Like, Marley gets fired in one season after his last season, and then all of a sudden we get a brand-new coach, crap ton of new recruits, and all of a sudden we're in the tournament. Like, what the heck? Like,
think about
it's
crazy.
It, bro. It's no diss or nothing. I'm not bashing nobody.
No, but
it's just wild to me.
We were saying that the whole time we was there watching games, we were like, bro, like, the coaching style just doesn't work with this team. It didn't work.
I remember we used to be at games, and I would be sitting by you, Alex. You'd be like, bro, this is terrible. Like, this ain't it, bro.
We would run one big and four on the wing, and it would be zero rebounds, and the team couldn't shoot free throws, and it was like. All I know is this year they've improved. We grab offensive rebounds now from the guards and the forwards that, you know, miss, which is important. Again, we finally grab rebounds. Right. That's our strength this year. And guess what? Now we finally won the WAC. Even though we've been runner up for the last 3 years, we finally won it.
Yeah.
Coach change, philosophy, and some rebounds, man, because we had talent already. New Mexico State wasn't that much better than us, bro.
I think our play style, like you said, our offensive sets were kind of like a little bit janky to how the way we were playing, though, it was more so this aspect of, like, we're trying to get NBA looks for guys that can't create their own, you know? We used to talk about it all the time, bro. I remember, bro, like, our little rant tangents we used to have, bro, it was funny, bro. Like, because you'd be at the games, you'd be like, bro, like, I can't do this, bro.
I can't do this, bro. Oh, my God.
It's a blessing being able to see him in the tournament, though, bro.
Absolutely, man. Just, you know.
Being an alumni and seeing it is cool.
It feels good because, you know, our school isn't known for much, man. You know, you mentioned GCU. People be like, yo. Is that at the Grand Canyon or where that school at? You know, and now
they think it's really at the Grand Canyon.
March Madness last year, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're well known now. Okay, we'll be a household name, especially if we beat Iowa, bro. Oh my God,
bro, if we beat Iowa,
we're gonna be on ESPN streaming for like a day straight, bro. I promise you.
Right. Be a big Cinderella team, get to the round of 32, and then go to Sweet Six, bro. It would be wild, bro. I'm hoping for it. I'm super hoping for it. I mean, if a team like Ohio State lost today to the school they lost to, the Oral Roberts, like, bro, it's possible we can beat Iowa, bro. I know we can. So yeah, I mean, just stay, I'm gonna stay positive about it, but we'll get later into college basketball next week for sure. But talking about NBA, bro, PJ Tucker just got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, what you think about that, man?
Honestly, I think it's a great move for both parties involved. Because Tucker had already expressed that he had wanted out of Houston. I don't blame him. He's a veteran player. They're going through essentially a rebuild. There's no real place for him unless you just want to go out there and collect a check because you're not gonna, you know, they're not going to be a playoff team. They're going to be a bottom of the barrel, probably second to worst team because Minnesota's going on a surge right now. Cat is healthy. AE is balling. He killed.
Yeah, they just combined for like 80 some points. So I'm like,
I'm saying, bro, he dropped like 40 on us last night. So they're coming back, bro. They're getting good chemistry. It's really, you can really just see the difference that Karl Anthony Towns makes when he's healthy, man. I mean, he's such a big player for them, and their organization. So Houston is without Christian Wood is probably going to slide to, you know, probably being one of the worst teams in the West. Because they're only
I think he's healthy right now too, or he's coming back a little.
He's coming back, but you know, so Houston's already second worst in the West. PJ is a guy that can compete, man. Like for a team like the Bucks, I mean, you picked up a tier below elite 3-and-D guy. In the corner, he is the best person in the corner shooting threes, other than probably Joe Harris. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a Joe Harris kind of guy. That spreads the floor. Now, when Giannis is driving and everybody want to swarm him, collapse the paint, all you got to do is look to the corner, PJ right there. And that's probably Green at least close to 50% of the time. And I think it's great for PJ because he gets out of Houston where he no longer has to worry about ever playing a five. He will never play the five in Milwaukee, bro. Milwaukee got plenty of things.
He's probably going to be playing the four.
He might be the three. Milwaukee got some length. Well, he won't take the three. Probably Chris will stay at the three. But anyway,
Giannis probably be the four. Yeah,
you got versatility with PJ. You know what I'm saying? The guy can play basically anywhere. You need a shoot. PJ.
He guards one through five too. That's the
their defense is going to be crazy, bro. When you got PJ, Drew, Giannis all in the court, all
KM, Chris Middleton can guard. Yeah.
Oh my God, bro! They're going to be just swarming, bro. As long as they can rotate and Brook Lopez can defend too. You know, So Milwaukee is doing what they got to do to make sure they stay relevant. You know what I mean? Right now they're third seed, but the East is real tight up top. You know, and the Bucks have made some additions. I mean, no, the Nets have made some additions. So, you know, the Bucks obviously felt like they needed to improve. And I think it's smart for teams to just wait it out and find the right fit. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just trying to go for you know, the best, what's available. I mean, because as far as 3-and-D, I don't think you're going to get a better guy available right now than PJ Tucker.
Yeah, because, too, like, do you kind of see, like, we've been kind of, like, friends behind a little bit about, you know, Milwaukee, looking at how, like, we got teams like, you know, we got Philly up there with Joel Embiid, top MVP candidate right now. And then, you know, obviously we have the Nets. But, like, I kind of feel like we kind of been sleeping on Milwaukee a little bit, bro. Like, I mean, we still have Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's one of the best players in the league still to this day, averaging about 30 points a game. But then, too, like, you pick up Drew Holiday, you got Chris Middleton. Like, they're still a relevant team. They're not no sorry, scrappy team. Yeah, I feel like we've kind of not forgetting about them, but I kind of feel like we're just putting them a little bit to the side. Now we're focusing more on this media attention with, you know, the Philly and then, you know, you got Brooklyn. But I still feel like this team can compete pretty good. I don't know what you think, but yeah.
Absolutely. This team, I mean, if you ask me, in my opinion, man, like, the reason why they're just getting they're not getting as much attention this year is because they're not holding that number one seed. You know, they're not in that spot.
Yes, which is right. Talking
about Milwaukee. Two, they don't have a really big media market. You know, it's not a huge name.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Wisconsin's.
And three, if I'm just being honest, Brooklyn is new. The Nets team is new. Their success is new. They were like an A seed last year.
The Sixers
have a new coach. You know, they have a new culture. They have players playing. It's supposed to be a new team, you know, even though it's the same old I've seen last year. It's supposed to be a new – so the whole thing is this is new versus the Bucks. It's the same team that ran back last year. You just got Drew Holiday and a few other additions. But you've seen the Bucks. You know what the Bucks are. You're waiting
for – Yeah, you know what Giannis – yeah.
You're waiting for them to prove to you something different in the place in the postseason because you know the Bucks can win every game in the regular season. They, you know, that's what they do. Last year,
they're regular season killers, bro. Yeah, they're smacking teams, blowing them out, and everything.
Postseason, now that's what I'm waiting for because I done seen this. I know you're gonna be a great team in the regular season, but Giannis, what are you gonna do for me? You know, postseason, man. Chris did a lot of work last year, but can y'all work together cohesively to get to the Eastern Conference
Finals? Yeah, and I think that's the thing they're trying to do now, yeah.
Because I think, you know, but that's also just a thing, just thinking, because everything is top-heavy, man, and a lot of attention just goes to the top media markets, bro. And since those teams are good, you know, every talk show is always talking about Sixers, Nets. There's a lot of great teams that don't get talked about. You know, like we don't talk about how Atlanta is at the five seed right now after they fired Lloyd Pierce, and boosted up my guy Nate McMillan. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's giving no credit to Nate McMillan, bro. Nobody. Mm-hmm. The same dude who should never been fired from Indiana in the first place is reviving this team that people were already giving up on, and nobody's talking about it. You know why?
That's the problem.
You know why? If that was Steve Kerr in that job, you know,
he would have still been there.
if it was, no disrespect, but if it was a white dude that got promoted to do this job that he's doing in Atlanta right now with turnaround, it would be covered on ESPN, on FS1. Man, it would be covered on everything, bro. But because it's not, and because he's a coach who's already coached, his team is doing better than the team he left. They're better than the Pacers right now.
And Nate McMillan's a defensive guy, too. He gets his teams, like, fundamentally sound on defense, bro. Like, the dude can produce some good games for his teams. They were just in a game seven. They were in a game seven against Cleveland a couple years back, the year LeBron had to carry them.
They went to the playoffs 4 years in a row under Nate McMillan, bro. 4 years. Mm-hmm. They lost in the first round every year. But so what? You got to be in it. You got to at least make it.
Yeah. Some teams that don't even make it. Detroit.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
The next before prior, yeah.
A little bit more, bro. Like, you don't need to fire the coach because the coach isn't the problem.
Mm-hmm. Talking about we need to hear a new voice and all this stuff like that. I'm like,
That's just nonsense, bro. Like, that's just politics and agenda. And like, that's when you're not concerned about winning, bro. Like, you can't keep it a whole stack. Like, come on, and tell me that.
Do you feel like the player kind of has a little bit to do, like the players on the team obviously have to do a little bit with like the way management sees coaches and stuff? Like, because obviously you heard Trae Young and those guys, they were like, oh yeah, like we wanted to hear a fresh voice. But that's, what is that saying? Like, do you want a new coach? Like, that's basically saying you want a new coach, right? So like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the influence is based on what players like desire to seek, especially for those star guys, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Obviously, the NBA is the league where players have the most control over what their organization
is. Yeah, for sure, bro.
They make their voices heard.
You see it every day, though.
Every day, you know. The most hires and most things are ran by whoever that top guy on the team is. And so there definitely was a little bit – there probably was, you know, some Trae Young and the guys were – they weren't, against moving to a new guy.
Yeah, because Lloyd Pierce wasn't no problem.
Lloyd Pierce was no slouch, you know what I'm saying? He's been there 2 years. Honestly, if you ask me – I don't know how controversial this would have been, but I would have just promoted Nate McMillan and moved Lloyd back down to the assistant coach. Like, why did you need to get rid of him completely, bro? Mm-hmm. You've already got a coach who's been with the players for 2 years, is helping them develop, you know. Just have him put into a lesser role where he can focus on the specifics, inner workings of this, and this, and maybe he would do better. Maybe Atlanta would be even better than they are now. I don't know. I've never really been. We don't know what
the – I feel like that's always the thing, though. If a coach doesn't work out, bro, they just, like – get out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is no, like, let's try to work on you being like an interim assistant. There is none of that. Like, once you're done, bro, you're out. And not to bring this up again, but the black coach especially, bro, I mean, we talked about it before in a couple of episodes. Mark Jackson experienced
I've heard about him getting interviewed for another job since, bro.
Like, he didn't get to bear his fruit with the team that he produced. And I'm like, okay, like, this is the guy that basically had the Curry, and Klay Thompson, and Draymond prior to their uprising of them becoming an NBA champion. And then you just give an all-time, like, you know, champion with Jordan, and then, oh, here, go coach. Like, what?
Yeah. Here's a team that's already an autopilot. Go out there and go look good, bro.
I'm not bashing coaches. We don't know what it's like. Yeah.
No, he actually coaches. But I'm just saying, bro, that team was already in auto mode before he got there, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that he helped
put Steve Kerr in a situation like Atlanta, see what would have happened.
He helped put them in a new formation and maximize the talent, but the talent
maximize the level of shooting.
It was already gonna win regardless. If Mark Jackson had another season, I don't know if they would have won a ring, but they for sure would have been contenders. There's no way you wouldn't be.
They would have been to the conference finals, bro.
No, they would have for sure went to the conference final. Mm-hmm. You know, and that would have been.
I mean, the only team contending, like on a consistent basis, when Kevin Durant was on his tear with OKC, and I mean, Memphis was a grit and grind team. There wasn't really no super alpha dogs like that could have, you know, withstood the time with that. Besides, I would say Kevin Durant, OKC with Westbrook.
The Spurs were still there. Timmy D was still there. Besides the young Kawhi, you could still get past them. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't impossible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't forget that, bro. Like, those were times, like, back in 2012 to, like, that 15 era. We look back and we just be like, the Warriors just really just kind of starts upright so fast to the point where it was just, like, we weren't expecting it to happen. But then it happened. And then it's like, okay, they won a championship. And then – Kevin Durant comes, and then it just blew up, bro. It was crazy. Like, the blow up of that was all crazy, bro. But I just feel like, too, bro, like, with the situation, like you were talking about with coaching, it's just important that I feel like you have a basis guideline of what you're seeking after for your team. And I talk about it all the time. Know your direction, your team. Okay, how are you going to sit here and tell the coach, oh, we're trying to go in a different direction, but at the same time, like, are you still trying to contend, or are you just trying to, like, just fresh face start over? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing I see out of it. Another guy I feel like, too, that dealt with that a lot, too, like, we keep bringing him up, was, like I said, Mark Jackson, just because he never got a chance back. He never got a chance really back into the loop. Like, I mean, Mark Jackson, we always sit here and say, oh, potential candidate, but he never gets past that first, second interview.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Every year is potential candidate Mark Jackson. You hear the new name they'll throw around now is the potential candidate Chauncey Billups. You know, and it's like,
oh, right, C. Bill, like, yeah.
Point you know, right, and yeah. It's like, okay, I've heard Chauncey Billups' name mentioned in at least three different sessions for coaches being hired, man. How have three entire coaching periods gone by and he hasn't gotten a job yet? Like, either he doesn't want the job, which is very possible. You know, you may not want the coaching job.
You're not
picking him. You're like, which I don't understand. Why is he interviewed every year if people haven't determined that he's not the guy yet? If no one's hired him, why does everyone keep interviewing him? Is it just you want the name to just say, oh, we interviewed Chauncey Billups? You know, come on, man. Like, why are you wasting my time? Even as a person, bro, like, I wouldn't even come in for the interview because I don't believe that you're going to give me the job. Like, you have no track record.
I can respect that. Yeah. It's crazy, man. Another thing, though, looking into, like, with the season going on so far, like, who you like for MVP so far, like, of the MVP ladder?
I'm kind of stuck
right now. I mean, I got some thoughts, but I want to see what you think first.
It really depends on what do you value, bro. And okay,
applications of winning or like what you provide to your team. What do you mean?
I think it's what you the value you have, winning,
right?
And your play style. I think people don't take into account people like a lot of MVP voting goes into play style, man. You know, like. Embiid and Jokic are balling. I mean, obviously, Embiid has a number one overall team. Jokic's team is sitting down at they're at the five seed now. My bad.
Yeah, Denver's been fluctuating. So they've been
going up, but
yeah, Denver has their days. Yeah,
but you know, people don't. There's not that drama, that panache about bigs anymore. You know, like I'm a guy who loves a good big, bro. You know, and I feel like they're extremely underrated. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate centers, bro.
MVP. You know, it's been a while. I don't consider Giannis to be a big, bro. That's like a dude that's in a bigger body. He doesn't play like a big. You know,
he's a forward. So
I think Embiid's MVP chances went down once he got injured, just because he's gonna have a lack of games on his. I think that James Harden. Should be
the impact he's playing with the team.
Yeah, he's oh my god. I mean, James Harden James Harden is one of the best players I will ever see in my lifetime. I already know that now, right now.
Yeah,
I don't care if I die when I'm 85 years old. James Harden will be one of the best players I have seen in my life. That man can ball, bro.
Yeah, he can hoop. Yeah,
we were talking about, yo, can they work? Can him and Kyrie work? I mean, maybe James just run the one. This man throwing out 11 dimes a night, bro. Almost.
He's leading the league in assists right now. Yeah,
and he still is putting up points. He had no problem dropping 40, no problem dropping 20. Like the man is. I mean, okay, the only problem James Harden is the only reason he's not higher up in the MVP ranking for most people is because. I mean, he quit his way out of Houston, man. You know, you sat out. There was plenty of games in Houston where your stats just weren't all that. And I know that's going to come back to bite him because people aren't going to be able to disassociate the losses and the not playing as well as I want to until I get to Brooklyn. They're going to hold it against him. I think that it would be incredibly disrespectful to not have Damian Lillard in your MVP considerations, man. Like,
yeah, that's my favorite player in the league. So, like, I'm not no bias though, but I think he's up there. I think he's up there
for a guy who's been slept on and has been underrated. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what more you can ask from this man than this to be an MVP, man. He's averaging 30.6 points. Okay, his team is sixth in the West. He didn't have he hasn't had CJ McCollum.
His team's always injured too. Like his it's either Nurkic or CJ's hurt or you got Rodney Hood was out.
Hurt. Like you know mm-hmm. like
Zach Collins been gone for 2 years.
Dame is the only one that's on the court every game, bro. The mm-hmm. only one who's I know for a fact if I turn into a Portland game, bro, Dame Dollar is gonna be on the court. I know that for a fact. So he definitely deserves to be in that. But see, I think that it just gets really top heavy, man. It gets really heavy because you know a lot. Right now in the NBA, we have dudes scoring the ball at a more efficient rate than we've ever seen before, bro. Averaging 20 ain't nothing, bro. Like dudes, regular players average 20. Like this, like averaging 25 and up is where you really start to say like that guy is, you know,
if you average 27 and above, you're in that like elite level status of scoring.
And so there's so many guys that you know we got so many dudes that are averaging 29 right now. You got Dame averaging 30, Joel Embiid averaging 30, Giannis 29.1, Curry at 29, like. Dudes are putting up 30 a night like it's nothing, bro. It's nothing. Mm-hmm.
I know Brad Beal's not a candidate. I know Brad Beal's not a candidate at all. He's not a candidate, but like, he's still scoring a lot of points too. Like,
he's doing a great job putting the ball in the cup, man. 100%. Yeah. You know, but I mean, that's just unfortunate because we already know the problem with Washington, man. If I think last time they got the dub. I forgot who they played, but it took 78 points combined between Bradley Beal and Westbrook to get it up. Like, that's not sustainable, bro.
That's a lot of effort.
And y'all need to give Russell Westbrook his roses, man, because they're not appreciating the player they have while he's still here. Okay. Second in the league in assists, just because people aren't paying attention. Because James Harden has 11. We forget that Russell has 10. Okay, Russell's still averaging 10 assists a game.
He's a triple double machine.
Mm-hmm. People forget that, man. Like it's not even just the triple double. This man is an all together all around player. He's still almost averaging a triple double right now. 9.6 rebounds, 10.2 assists on 21 points per game. You know, shooting. Let's see, what's he shooting from the field right now? He's shooting 45% from the field, 33% from three.
For him, that's not terrible.
I mean. Those are solid numbers, you know, and that's on like the worst team in the East.
In the Eastern Conference, yeah.
So, you know, we were talking off camera earlier. I think that, you know, you can make a case for LeBron to win MVP every year. I don't think I would make that case this year, just because I think that there are people this year that have a better case. I think
you can make a case for the past
few years though. But I think that they're, you know, probably my top three would have to be Dame, Embiid, and Harden in no particular order.
Yeah, because I have Dame and Harden up there for sure. And then I'll put either interchangeably probably Jokic or Embiid just for the impact that they provide to their team. But we talked about this before. It's the preference of what you like out of your center. Like Joel's that more back to the basket big, he's going to get a bucket. Like, and then you got Jokic as the playmaking big. You know what I'm saying? So
face to face,
yeah. So I see it like that too. The thing that gets tight though, bro, and we always see it, like we talk about Dame, like just the credit level that I think it is though, is it's the market of where he's at in Portland. And he's that faithful and that loyal guy. Like he's not gonna try to sit here and leave, or he's not gonna try to get traded, he's not gonna request, he's gonna endure his time. And you gotta respect a player like that at times, bro. Like win or loss, he said, I'm going to take my punches and I'm going to go about it knowing that I gave it all I had. And, I mean, we've continuously on national television, we see Shaq, D-Wade, Ernie, like guys like those guys up in TNT, like they talking about like, bro, you're like, you need more credit, you need more respect. And he's just like, nah, like I just do what I do and I play for my team and I work hard. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. Like the night that he dropped 50, they were down. They were down. They were losing to the Pelicans. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I was like, oh, fuck.
Bro, his name like, has to,
I was bummed, bro.
To do that, bro. Like, it's not even like a choice, man. Like, I mean, no, this is like we.
But he's built for it, though. That's the crazy. It's not bad. He's built to do it. Like, that's the part that excites you about it. It's like, but he
has to do it. Like, and he knows exactly. Okay, all right, bro. all right, this game, we in the third quarter, we down by five, bro. If I don't turn up at this point, we ain't getting in this game. Like, mm-hmm. that takes a level of skill. I don't even know if that's coaching, man. That's just a killer mentality.
Yeah, because right. Coach Stott's a good coach, obviously. I mean, he's still there, like, but Dane, he's doing that on his own, bro.
Yep, just, yeah. Okay, heat up time. Heat up, 45-foot. Yeah, 45-foot. Like what, mm-hmm. bro?
That nonchalant. He dribbles up and he just looks at you and then
shoot. That is not a game plan. That's not coaching, bro. Like you're mm-hmm. not going to come in. No one's
There's no offensive out. Set for that. There's no offensive set.
Exactly.
Yeah. But there's no offensive set for that. But – and the thing, too, yesterday after the game with the Lakers, they played, and Kyle Kuzma was talking about LeBron. He feels like LeBron should have more than the four MVP titles that he has. Like, I feel like the thing with LeBron that we always – like, we respect, but we don't always give credit to is, like, just the fact of his impact of getting to games and winning, you know, the level of a whole total surrounded playmaking – guard / forward / big, whatever you want to call him, bro. Like, the way he impacts the game is so crazy, but I feel like we don't appreciate it as much as we did in prior years. I mean, and obviously, too, we look at the reputation of LeBron James. Okay, he left Cleveland, went to Miami, and we look and we'd be like, oh, okay. Like, he was playing with a super team. But then we go to his time in Cleveland. Like, the dude was still doing the same thing, but he just wasn't in a higher spectacle place compared to where he was. Like, we played with K-Love and Kyrie. But we're not going to sit here and say the whole time that those guys were healthy. Like, LeBron was still carrying his teams to the finals, bro. Like, for the past 8, 9, 10 years, bro, like, he's been there. And I just sit there and I'd be like, okay, like, why is he not, you know, up there further than what we think, you know?
I think that it's the same thing that kind of happened with Russell Westbrook and the triple-double. It's like
– yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're so talented, and what you do can't be done by anyone else. And it's so phenomenal the first time. And the second time, it's like, oh my God. And then the third time, you were like, all right, bro, you've done that. It's amazing that you can still do it, and you've done it three times in a row. But because you've done it all, it's like, all right, bro, you've done that. Like, I know you can do that, bro. Show me something else. It's like, mm-hmm. well, what is LeBron supposed to do? What is Russ supposed to do? You know, I'm the whole thing was like, oh, I don't know if you could do it. And then you did it. And now it's like, well, now that you're doing it, I mean, all right, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, I can't give you the MVP 2 years in a row. I'd have seen that before. What do you mean? You just gave me – Russell Westbrook got an MVP for being triple-double, for having the first average triple-double, right? Come back the next year doing the same thing, and dudes are like, nah, you can't give it to him. I'm like, what do you mean you can't give it to him? I mean, don't get me wrong. Harden deserved it because Harden was hooping. But what do you mean you can't give it to Russ just because he did the same thing as last year? Like, oh, the triple-double was just watered down now. No, it's not. It's not
watered down. It's a level of impact on a game.
No one else has even got close to averaging that, bro. You know, people think in a night, but they don't average it for an entire season. Not 82
An entire games. Season? You know how rigorous like, that is to do?
People said that it was impossible. Everyone said after Oscar did it that it would never be done again. They said,
oh, yeah, Big O. Yeah, Big O was really impossible.
And then what did Russ do? Russ did it. Mm-hmm. He did it. And now it's like, oh, well, you know, that's cool. I mean, triple-double. But, you know, why don't you go get a quadruple-double? Like, people are never satisfied, man. People are never satisfied. And that's why I think that the MVP is always such a rotating award. And why NBA legends leave their careers with less MVPs than they deserve. There's no way in hell Kobe Bryant deserves one MVP, bro. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's
no way. We talked about that too.
Biggest, like, that's crazy. The fact that we're talking about LeBron deserving more than four, and LeBron needs more than four, and we're talking about Kobe Bryant having one.
One.
Like, come on, bro. MJ played what? 18 years? Or not 18. It's more like 14 years, bro.
14, like 15 seasons, 15 something. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He got six of them, bro. And you know damn well Michael Jordan was the best player. Come on. He won six chips in a row. You telling me he was only MVP six seasons? Really?
Right.
Really? Are you sure? Even years he didn't win a chip, but you telling me he wasn't better than, like, Larry Bird then, bro? Like, come on.
Yeah.
He won drops.
In the 80s, Bird was running shit.
Was Larry? Like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, bro. Them awards, like, I really think that, like, they need to work on the voting for these things like this, bro. And they need to do the same thing for they need to work on the voting. They need to do the same thing for the MVP, All-Star, all that. They need to do a better job on the voting system, man, because the voting system does not reflect, like, what people really, really think and feel, man. And, like, the people that have their votes I think, you know, actually, I think that those who have their vote should have to make their votes public, man. Because they get to hide behind the fact that they made a vote and they voted for so-and-so.
And they'll be like, ha, 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 you ain't going to be able to see nothing about show.
Okay, this person got X many first votes, second votes, third votes. And it's like, well, who in the hell voted for this person, bro? Why is this person getting any first place votes on all team defense? You know, you're just looking like, why did you get any votes? And people that's journalists is journalists and executives, they get to hide behind their vote, bro. And it's like, no, stand firm. Explain to me why you thought that was a qualified and educated decision. Because there's no way you can justify
it. It's crazy, bro. And the thing too, like you said, we get into these trends like the triple double, the impact of LeBron's winning. I mean, we kind of can see it with a little bit with Steph Curry too, with the impact of the 3-point shot. And you have the player that can pull it from deep. You got the Dame and the Steph Curry now, and it's kind of like, okay, like what's the next like big thing that would trend? I mean, yeah, and that's the thing I feel like with basketball is like, okay, it's a game that's constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. Players and skill sets are always changing. I mean, you see James Harden. I mean, you see guys like Dame, you see Steph Curry's, but it's like, okay, a guy does it, and now it's like, okay, like it doesn't matter because this person already did it. Steph Curry already broke the record for threes. Steph Curry is already shooting deep threes, so we're not as excited to see guys like, you know, Damian and Luka hitting step-back threes and James Harden hitting step-back threes because, like, it's already been seen. But at the same time, though, it's like, okay, so what are we basing – a wild player off of, or what are we basing a wild factor off of them? Because LeBron James can go do a crazy ass dunk, but at the same time, is it as effective as, you know, Steph Curry pulling up from 40? You know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Three is more effective than two. The answer is right. No.
Exactly. So, that's the way I always see it, bro. And I don't want to get into that little stipulation where we're just sitting here saying, oh, Giannis is going to be MVP again. Giannis is going to be MVP again. Because, I mean, Giannis already won MVP back-to-back years. And, I mean, we could have sat there and said that one time Harden could have won. But at the same time, it's like, well, he didn't get it because they felt as if Giannis was more impactful on winning, you know? So, I don't know.
And that's another thing, bro. I just feel like the requirements are – they fluctuate too much, you know?
Yeah, it's like a balance. Yeah.
You know, because if we're gonna talk about winning, you know, that's fine, man. Like, I don't have a problem, but – Every few years, it's like, okay, your MVP can be a sixth seed, or it can be the first seed, or the second seed, or third seed. It's
right.
Like, all right, bro. Like, I think if we said, okay, look, man, you got to, in order to be an MVP, your team got to be top half in your team has to be a top half in the West, or the top half in your division. You know, you got to be a top four team in the East or West. That makes sense, bro, because your team. Yeah, I think that's gonna make people mad though, because you know you got players that's gonna ball on shit teams. And it's gonna be a problem, but it's already the way it's set up is you have to make the playoffs in order to be an MVP. You can't be MVP and your team to make a playoff.
Yeah, because that's because Bradley Beal would be MVP. Like exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So it's already set up that way. So now it's like, okay, I need you to make another. Just okay, either your team's got to be the XYZ, or we're gonna say you got to be doing over. I don't say let's say 20 points a game, you know, because people don't want to hear a Chris Paul for MVP. People don't want to hear. People do not.
And that's the guy that's being brought up too, low key.
People
actually
don't want to see another. This is my guy, my road dog. People don't want to see another Steve Nash MVP, man. They don't want to see another 15 point MVP. 15 point with 12 assists. Nobody wants to see that no more, bro. Because scoring is so easy in this NBA. If you're not putting a ball in the bucket, bro, they don't care. So I'm saying you probably need to have at least 20 points per game in order to do that.
Being that percentile,
stat to be over, I know at least one of your stats in the rebounds or assists to be over 5 a game. If you're getting less than 5 and 5, why are you MVP talk, bro? I don't want to hear that you're getting you making 30 points a game. You getting less rebounds. I don't want to hear that, bro. I don't want to hear that, bro. You need more than 3 assists, 3 rebounds a game, bro. You need at least hit 5 of something a game.
You got to be at 5, 5, and 5.
Hey, if you give me 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, you can be MVP in my discussion.
You're a solid player. You're actually a really solid player.
You can begin to start talking. And then obviously, the last requirement needs to just be health, man. Availability is best, you know. If you played 65 games out of 82 and you averaging 12, 2 more points per game than me, Well, I'm taking that against you because he didn't play 10 more games than you. Yeah. And it's harder to average 2 extra points in 10 more games because you didn't play that. You know, you got it.
Yeah. I think those averages matter and the stats matter. Analytics, the basketball's all analytics right now at this point. So
averages matter, win shares matter. I think that, honestly, if we're just being free, man, defense needs to be more impactful when it comes to MVP, bro. I don't want to hear that you're the best player in the game and you only play offense. You have to play every time you score, you got to get back on defense, bro. And if you're doing nothing on defense, how are you the MVP? If you're not getting any steals, if you're not getting any blocks, but you lead the league in deflections, or I don't want to hear that, bro. You need to put them stats up. You need to have an impact on defense because, like, you have dudes that are first team all defense and they're not even MVP. The MVP don't even be first team all defense. You don't even be second team. Like, how are you not second team all defense and you're MVP?
Like, I'm telling you, man. Like that.
No, man. Like, dudes, like remember that year Paul George was third in MVP voting, bro.
Yeah, in the OKC year, yeah.
Who above him played defense, bro? Who above him in that voting played any lick of defense? Because James Harden sure didn't. And no, I James think
Harden for sure didn't.
Who was the one that got the MVP that year? Was it Giannis, bro?
Let me double check.
I'm not gonna argue because we all know Giannis plays defense, bro. But like, there's just not enough emphasis on defense, especially even with the way the rules set up now, like. I feel like the league doesn't even want to see guys play defense. They just want to see who puts the most points up and they can score the most, and it'd be a shootout every game. Like, NBA games don't even end in 80, 90 points anymore, bro. They're all, like, over 100 every game.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's kind of wild, man.
Was the Giannis year. Giannis, James Harden, and – Paul George, and arguably you could have said that James Harden could have won that MVP that year. But
could have, because he was averaging, 35 or something like that?
That was when we started to see, like, the high 30 scoring trend in, like, NBA players. I mean, you would have KD and like, the year, like, I think Carmelo, I believe, scored, like, averaged, like, 30, 32 a game. But, like, we started to see that surge. I think Harden was kind of that guy where you started to see, like, if you could average 30, like, it's nothing, you know? Like, so.
Because Harden changed the game. It wasn't such a big, like, it's not, it wasn't a huge change the way that Curry's was, but Harden kind of built on what Chris Paul was doing. It was like, yo, I'm a great free throw shooter, bro. Let me just exploit this. These refs are gonna give me every call I want. They're not stopping me from getting to the lane. I'm gonna get to the cup regardless, bro. And if I don't finish, I'm about to sell the foul. And I can't even mad at it, bro, because his points skyrocketed after that because he's efficient at the free throw line. And if you're gonna keep pushing, and you're gonna keep doing that, bro, well, I'm gonna keep doing it. I don't care. And that's why he was able to get 35 a game. And I think that, you know, a lot of what we see now, the players being able to do better and average 30 points a game is, you know, free throws, man. A lot of these cats are getting there, you know, they're getting to the foul line. Dudes aren't averaging 35, you know. Or 20,
off of just straight threes like weirdos, yeah.
No, like, I think they said it was early this year, Jamal Murray dropped 50, and it was like, oh my god, you did 50 with no free throws. Because, you know, free throws are a part of the game, bro. Like, come on, man, you're a star player. If somebody breathes on you the wrong way, bro, you're getting a call. Like,
the refs are so sensitive nowadays, bro.
Trey Young, Ja Morant, like, all the young cats, bro, like, they're the big dudes in their city, bro. They're getting every call they want. Trae Young is literally throwing himself into people just, 3 points, like, and one. Like, come on, bro. You know I didn't foul you, man. Like, you know. But it's cool. You're good enough to get that.
He's selling. Yeah, and he's selling.
You're selling it, bro. You're selling it. Like, and it's – you got to be good. We all know that. You got to be an all-star to get that stuff off, bro.
Yeah. But, yeah, and the thing, too, like, with that was, like, with him being – with Harden being able to translate that game to, like, getting to the free throw line – you kind of start to see a lot more players were getting more angered and frustrated by it. But at the same time, though, like, his efficiency just grew as a player. Because, I mean, there was games, bro, Harden would drop, like, 40, 50 a game, but then he would have, like, 13 turnovers. But, I mean, the turnovers we really didn't care about because, I mean, he was dropping 50, you know? So it's just testament to, like, the greatness of a player like that. And like you said, bro, like, we look at guys like James Harden. We're going to be looking down, like, down the road, and we're going to be like, dude, like, this was actually one of, like, the like one of the dopest guys we got to see play. You know what I'm saying? Because there may be a guy that can be a playmaker or a shot creator like a James Harden, but at the same time, like as an authentic player, like he's kind of one of those guys like we got to see and was just amazed by, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Man. Like, honestly, bro, I know they said it already that they're going to retire his number in Houston, but that should be a
no-brainer.
That guy is.
Yeah, he shifted the whole movement.
Oh, my God, man. He, like, revives Houston, man. Houston was okay before that. You know, like, now Houston is, like, you know, every year team is in the playoffs. Like, I mean, who was the last player that Houston had before James Harden that was, like, big time, bro? Like,
T-Mac.
Oh, yeah, T-Mac. I forgot. T-Mac.
Like, that's one of my all-time favorites. But,
That was, like, but in between the T-Mac, yeah.
So threes.
Harden was a long time,
bro. It's a gap. That's a long gap. A
long gap, bro. They needed that because that franchise, they needed the kickstart.
They were destined to be, like, a really tanked team, bro. Like, they weren't going to get no star out in Houston because of that. Like, Harden was kind of that guy that, you know, shifted the movement towards. And in mad respect to, like, a guy like Kevin McHale, bro, like, he kind of unlocked the keys for Harden to evolve his scoring. And then McHale left, obviously, or got fired, whatever. And then D'Antoni just evolutionized the game for him to just create greater shots for himself. Yeah, and open the playmaking ability for him to get open looks for his teammates because he was an attractive player that people just would crash in on. So it's crazy to think about that, bro. Like, it's super wild to think about. But, with the MVP talk, though, like with a guy like Joel Embiid, I was kind of hoping – to see him, you know, succeed and get that MVP. But, I mean, with the injury and the toll on that, it's just going to depend on if he comes back, however soon it comes back, and the impact of, like, if they're down, like, and I don't see them dropping that bad, but if he comes back and they're down, like, to the 3-seed and they get back up to a certain spot, there could potentially argue that his impact on the game helped him that to the point where he is MVP. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing, too, we have to look at, too, because it's like, yeah, we look at the media and we look at the voting system of it all, but if Philly goes down a little bit, which I kind of expect them to just because he's not there in the paint, you're going to see the impact of him as a player on that team. And that's something that I feel like we as people, as fans, analysts, whatever, you have to look at that and be like, okay, like, this guy is the reason they're good. Like, let's not sit here and try to make it seem like, oh, he's just another guy that's putting up a lot of points. No, he's a focal point reason of why they're winning games. It's crazy to think about it.
That's a good point. It's good.
Yeah, I just thought about that. Like, that's something that we always have to take into fact, too. And it's just like we looked at LeBron, and I mean, we're kind of all over the place with it. But, I mean, you look at it, though, like LeBron, when he got injured his first year in L.A., bro, and you saw, like, the deterioration of the team just from him leaving with that injury, bro, they sunk. Yeah.
They suck, dude.
Yeah, so it's the dependent factor of a player and how much impact do they provide to your team. Before we wrap up, though, I wanted to low-key, like, see your thoughts with the, you know, I'm pretty sure you heard about it with Atlanta, bro, and the shootings and stuff that happened out there, bro, and with the Asian American community and stuff like that. Like, I just wanted to see, like, what your thoughts on that was, a little bit off track.
It's just sad, man. It's just sad. Like, it's just another senseless killing, another senseless loss of life. People lost sisters, mothers, aunties, cousins, you know, all that just for them. They were just going about their business, just on a regular day, doing regular people things, you know, and it's just senseless, man. I understand that people have, you know, a right to a Second Amendment rights here in this country, man, but honestly, bro, I don't think there's really a need for like, them kind of guns to just be, you know, like, free for everybody, man. There's a lot of control that, you know, we can do a whole lot of gun control, but it's hard to control everything, man. You know, it's hard. And I just feel like
it is the government, yeah.
If we were a country where, you know, guns weren't a constitutional right, which, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. The Constitution is great, it's provided a lot of things, but
yeah, it's the basis of foundation.
It wasn't perfect to begin with, man. We had to amend a lot of things, we've had to add a lot of things, man. We weren't even included in the Constitution. Women weren't even included in the Constitution. You know, like, there was a lot of things that weren't set in stone for us to just be like, hey, man, this piece of paper, these rules are just what we're going to abide by for the rest of time. We don't you know, we were a young country back then. You know, having being able to arm yourself and form a militia was important because, you know, you never know who coming across the water is coming to attack you. Now, you know, you got an army, you got a National Guard, you got Air Force, you got Marines, you got Navy. Like, I was at work today, bro. I was at work.
Yeah.
I was and there was a guy that came in, bro, with a pistol on his hip. And I felt so uncomfortable because I make eye contact with this dude, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, he's a white person. You know, I make eye contact with him. Just a mask. And I'm like, I don't know what the eye contact, you know, I can't really tell. But I'm like, dude got a gun. You know, it's an open carry state and you can, but it's like, I'm not used to that, bro. I'm not used to just seeing like a dude just walk in the spot and be like, yeah, I got my pistol on the hip. Like, what's happening? You know, I feel like if police didn't have guns and people weren't able to get guns as easily accessible as they are, and we just said for everybody just cut it, you know, we just cut down all of it, bro, we'd be okay. The UK, the people can't even get guns in the UK, bro. Their police don't even have guns. Do they not arrest people?
Voltaires.
You know, like they still they got mace, they got batons, they got everything else we got, and they still arrest people. Yeah, you know, like policing can be done, bro. That kind of weapon doesn't need, like, I watched the Avengers, man, and my man Vision had this one quote, and he said, "Our very power incites conflict." It, you know, knowing that the police and the people that are trying to stop me have guns. Knowing that, if I'm going to do bad, bro, what am I going to do? I'm going to go get a gun, bro, because I already know that you have one. But if you don't have one, and I don't have one, I probably don't feel as strongly a need to go get one because I know that you don't have one. The
protection rights of a person.
Obviously, I understand the need to protect yourself, man, but a lot of these shootings, bro, aren't protection. You know, they're not people breaking into your house and those, I understand those, man. I understand that. You know, I understand people talking, you know, touching your kids and, you know, I get that, bro. Those situations are what that is for. But we have way situations where they're being used for the things they're not meant for. They're not meant to just walk in a massage parlor and just kill people, bro. That's not what they're for. Like, there is no, that's not what it was. I mean, obviously, guns were designed to kill people. Don't get me wrong. That's what they're designed for. But that's not what we have them to use them for. You know, that's not why we provide the ability to have them. And until we as a country either come to a collective understanding that, yo, everybody gonna have to get one because you know, you get people or people that have them are doing crazy things and they're taking people's lives that don't have them. Or we just get rid of them all as a whole. But the only problem is that it's a constitutional right, man. And if there's one thing that I know, bro, is that if you try to change anything that was when this country was created, this great country that every American loves, bro, they're not going for that. They're gonna fight you tooth and nail to change anything, bro. They're gonna fight you. And so I don't see any change coming, man. Which is why we've become, as a society, but we've become so desensitized to this, bro. Do you remember when Sandy Hook happened? And everyone for the whole week, like, dude, how did that happen? When the Colorado shooting happened at the movie theater, people were just watching Batman, just went to go watch a movie, open and open.
In a War of Colorado, when Dark Knight came out,
like, these stories have been so frequent, bro. They're every year, every month, it seems like. And nothing is done about it. I just feel like we become this, all we do is tweet and post a picture, and then the next media week,
and to provide awareness,
we move on to something else, you know, and then we get mad 7 months later because they come out and say, "Oh well, no charges have been filed. The officer's been placed at administrative work and blah 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 blah." You know, nothing happens, bro. There is no justice. Mm-hmm. There is no, like, so people are like, "Okay, well, nothing happened. I mean, let me get mad about it. Let me talk about it. Let me tweet about it," and then we just know that there's nothing that's gonna happen, man. Like this, that's sad, man. It's really sad because there needs to be change, bro. Like that, like that's not a normal thing. Like I promise you, if we looked up mass shootings in Italy or mass shootings in Zimbabwe or mass shootings in Spain, major countries, bro, this is not a thing. Like this isn't a thing. Even third world countries don't have issues like this, bro. They don't have. They have.
And trust me, they would be scrutinized on TV if it was happening, because we hear about terrorist groups and all that stuff, bro. So
we have things that happen in our country. Like, we act like America is just so great. America is just flawless. America is just the top tier of the world. Like, how do other countries look at us, bro? Because if I was from another country and this kept happening, I wouldn't want to live here. Why would you want to live here? Yeah, like,
it's not safe, bro.
Are the benefits worse than that can happen to anyone, bro. We had people storm the Capitol, like, and they were armed and didn't get shot. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah, and the thing too, like, I was kind of reflecting on it a little bit more too, because just being from a little bit of being mixed with Asian descent, bro, and it's sad, because like, we live life and we go about our days normal and we live through society, but for someone to just not to even think like that, but to have a mindset to just be against a race and just to go voluntarily just to go kill people, bro, like, it's the part that blows me. And and we always sit here and say, like, how much more of this has to happen, whether it be for the gay community, the African American community, the Asian American community, even the minority and even the majority community. Because I mean, killing is a killing, bro. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and try to make it seem like if someone dies, then it's more scrutinized than the other. No, a death is a death.
It's death,
and that's someone's loved one. That's someone's family that they're not gonna be able to see that day. That's something very grave, and I think that those of us that are able to see those days, we're grateful to God for those days that we have every day, because like you said, that person's not gonna be able to wake up with that loved one, that cousin, that family, that friend, that mother, that daughter, the kid, whatever, the wife. It's sad. And it's something that I feel like we just need to be more open to being more in unity with one another. And I feel like it's the reason why we are the country we are. Like, we sit here and say that we're the greatest country, but at the same time, the diversity of what we have here is what makes us who we are, you know? So it's something very important that we need to always, I feel like, be aware of. And I feel like it was something important that we talk about just because, you know, just with the society that we live in, bro, it's stuff like this that you don't expect to see every single day, but it's the things we live in. And it's the things that we have to endure, the things we have to see and go up against, bro. So it's just important that we always, like, you know, stay aware of those things. But you want to wrap us up, bro?
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys again for listening to another episode of the Checkup Podcast. You know, we're just grateful and happy that you guys are tuning in and enjoying the content, because, you know, there's nothing we'll enjoy more than doing than just talking basketball, just talking sports, man. I know that we are going to be having another guest on probably next week, and then we'll try to work again, have another one later soon. And then we'll maybe expand next week and cover maybe a little NFL conversation just on the free agency.
Yeah.
Popped up by then, because NFL's got a whole lot of moves to go on. It should be a little tidbit just for the fans who've been rocking with us. So we just thank you again for your support. From here to the checkup. Have a great week. Have a blessed week. And we'll see you next week.
Sure.